Clyde Pilkington sent out a great daily email goodie today. He's quoting C.S. Lewis. Now, I've known this truth, but C.S. Lewis really puts this in a nice little nutshell. Well, it is C.S. Lewis, after all. Can't be too hard on myself now, can I? Here it is. The title of this little piece is Gethsemane. So many truths can be found in the way our Lord reacts and deals with his own pains and his own trials. Listen to this from C.S. Lewis. Some people feel guilty about their anxieties and regard them as a defect of faith. I don't agree at all. They are afflictions, not sins. Like all afflictions, they are, if we can so take them, our share in the passion of Christ. Wow, that is loaded. That was C.S. Lewis. How many times do we consider our moods, our anxieties, our worries, our disquietude as defects of faith, as sins? But C.S. Lewis here says, and I agree with him, that they're not a defect of faith at all. They are afflictions, not sins. We are afflicted in this life. And as an example of that, the highest example is our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was afflicted of soul. Scripture actually says he was depressed. That's the Concordant version. He became depressed. The word depressed is an interesting word in the Greek. It's a two-part Greek word, and the English elements are unpublic. And isn't that a picturesque description of depression? When you're depressed, you don't want to be with the public. At best, you want your intimate friends around you. Even our Lord, his intimate friends failed him. They fell asleep while he was in his anguish. But I remember a day when I was a Christian. I was a Christian for 2 years before I became a believer. And when I heard that people were depressed, I remember my brother-in-law said he was depressed. And my response to him was poor. My response to him was, no one in the faith, no one who is relying on Jesus Christ or their Savior should be depressed. Because for a couple years, I had bought into the lie that becoming a believer, coming into the faith, meant that you now fought all trials in your life stoically, and you never got upset. You were never not at peace. You were never anxious, and you certainly were never depressed. Why should you be depressed? Because you have this wonderful life of Christ, and everything is supposed to go well for you. And that is a terrible lie of the adversaries, because what it does is, as soon as you feel any sort of natural revulsion at your life's circumstances, you think that you've fallen out of the faith. And you think that God is no longer pleased with you because you feel like you're doubting him. You're made to feel like because you're anxious about something that you're not relying on Christ. Now maybe strictly speaking, that is true. Scripture does say that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God, on him. But I don't need to tell you this. Our minds are fractured every day, and sometimes we don't keep our mind on him. When a bill comes in the mail, your mind goes immediately from meditating on Jesus to, how do I pay this bill? And you become embroiled in the circumstance. But God knows this, and it's all relative. Our trial might be paying a bill. Jesus' trial he was also paying a bill, but the bill he was paying was the sins of all humanity, past and future, were coming upon him. And he begged his father. He became depressed, and he became anxious. He became disquieted. His soul was in turmoil. But we know that Jesus Christ never sinned. And so this should tell us that it is not a sin to be in turmoil. It's not a sin to be anxious. Here's the sin. You've heard me say this before. The sin is to become anxious about your anxiety. And this is the never-ending turmoil that Satan will lure you into. He will take your natural reactions to natural circumstances, and he will make those sins. Or the scripture doesn't say that being anxious is a sin. It recommends, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6. Concordant translates that, don't worry about anything. We know this is the ideal, and we know that this is the exhortation. And if you would ask me, Martin, should I be anxious about this situation, whatever it is, I would say no, don't be anxious about it. Don't lose your peace. But I know, because of my own life experiences and because of seeing Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, I know that it will happen. The lie comes in when these feelings are said to be unnatural or illegitimate, and therefore you begin to compound the problem by being anxious about your anxiety. Oh no, this anxiety is not of Christ. This anxiety is wrong. This anxiety is a sin. No, C.S. Lewis here says, and I think it's right, that anxieties are not a defect of faith. They're afflictions, not sins. Again, we're afflicted on all sides. So my teaching today is to rescue you from being afflicted about your afflictions, from being anxious about your anxieties, from being not at peace about not being at peace. My exhortation is just don't be at peace. If something is happening in your life and it's taking away your peace, be at peace with that. Be at peace with not being at peace. Because once again, as I told you yesterday, this is a nifty technique to destroy the stratagems of the adversary. Because Satan wants us to be vexed over what we perceive as our failings. And what we perceive as our failings might not be failings at all. They might merely be afflictions, natural afflictions. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus Christ, knowing that in 5 minutes Lazarus was going to be walking out of the tomb, nevertheless, hating death, being saddened by the death of his friend, seeing the misery of his sisters, Mary and Martha, Jesus himself wept. This is the opposite of the stoicness, the austere mindset that Eastern religions try to invite. They try to invite or train people to become stoic, that is, to react the same way to joys as well as sorrows, to deny the human condition. The Eastern religions invite their adherents to deny the human condition and to treat any reaction whatsoever as not being founded upon peace. But in that religion, they are making peace and they are making the lack of anxiety into gods themselves. And this is what I want us to avoid. It can become a god. Satan will make it a god for you to battle your natural reactions to situations. It is far less anxiety producing to simply accept the fact that we are weak human beings, that we get curveballs thrown at us all day long, that we're afflicted, as Paul says, left and right. Paul was afflicted by so many things. He was in fear for his life constantly, and of course that produced anxiety in him, but he was not anxious about his anxiety. That just leaves it at one level. Just be anxious, if you must. Be disquieted if you must. Worry if you must. Just don't worry about your worry. That's the never-ending cycle of self-analysis and self-condemnation that Satan would have us embark upon. We are delivered from that. We are delivered from the religious insistence that nature is evil, that the human response to our environment is evil. But we know that we are flawed by design, that we have this treasure of God's revelation in an earthen vessel so that the power can be His and not ours. Our suffering in a moment of weakness, whether it's to be worried, whether it's to cry, whether it's to lose our peace, it's evidence of our creaturehood. And who do we think we are to think that we're more than creatures, that even though we have the life in Christ in the life of Christ in us, that we're somehow above creaturehood? I've said this before, but to expect something better of yourself, to be disappointed in yourself, that you're not reacting, quote, correctly or in the Christian way, unquote, to a certain circumstance, that's a backhanded form of creature worship. Because you're putting your behavior and your deportment, your disposition above a reliance on Christ. And it's a trap, a huge trap, and millions are in it to analyze your walk. I talked about this before, but specifically here was triggered by this wonderful little bit, this excerpt from C.S. Lewis. By the way, if you want to look this up, I don't endorse all of C.S. Lewis's writings. This has been excerpted from a book called Letters to Malcolm. I'll read it one more time, then I'll close. From C.S. Lewis, some people feel guilty about their anxieties and regard them as a defect of faith. I don't agree at all. They are afflictions, not sins. Like all afflictions, they are, if we can so take them, our share in the passion of Christ. Isn't that something? See, it's all relative. This is our share. How can you, being anxious about paying a bill, be your share in the passion of Christ? Because Christ Himself was paying a bill. And He Himself was reduced to tears at the rock in the olive garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And He cried out, as we do when we are faced with what seem to us insurmountable trials. Do not belittle your trials. It's all relative. And to think of these things as our share in the passion of Christ really elevates them. I'm not elevating sin, but I agree with C.S. Lewis here. These are not sins, they're afflictions. These afflictions will come. You will have your normal human reactions to them because you're still human. We have not been filled with the Spirit of God yet. We have an earnest of the Spirit. We have an earnest of our inheritance. When we are filled, these things won't be issues, but now they are issues. And do not overly stress over your vessel of clay, because this is God's intention for now, to put His treasure in this vessel of clay, so that you know, when you do rise above the circumstance, when that magic moment comes, when you find yourself in a terrible situation and you still have peace. Oh, this is what we'd like to see all the time. But again, since we have the Spirit only in earnest, then we will have these positive experiences only in earnest. But I think that every one of us has had the experience of being in a situation that when everyone else is falling apart, we have this strange calm. That happens as well, right? We get glimpses into our future life when we're filled with the Spirit. And I thank God that He gives us these little tastes, little foreglimpses of complete sufficiency, complete peace, Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we are snatched away to go into the celestial realm, we are going to be in the midst of some vast evils. We are going, I know that doesn't, some of you don't like to hear that. You want to, I know, at least, can we sit down for, you know, a couple hundred years just to relax and decompress from this terrible life here? But no, we have no idea what it's going to feel like when we are filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, and when we are delivered from mortality to immortality. All these anxieties we have now will be moot. They won't even matter then. And again, it is a gracious gift of God. If even once a year or whatever, you feel that transcendent peace, you feel the anxiety falling off of you, and the things of the world do for you grow strangely dim, strangely distant, and things that are affecting everyone else, and everybody else is going mad, everybody else is going crazy, you are walking in the midst of it. That's the miracle. You're walking in the midst of it with a calmness and with an assurance that God is in control of it and that He will never leave you or forsake you. We have it now in part. We'll have it then in full.